This is the second podcast of the podcast series on platform regulation by ITM Münster. My name is Judith Bayer. I'm Schumann Fellow at the ITM Münster. And today, my guest is Lorna Woods. She is Professor of Internet Law and member of the Human Rights Center at the University of Essex. And Lorna has participated in a project on reducing harm in social media in frames of the Carnegie UK Trust, which developed a concept called statutory duty of care on how to regulate harmful content on the internet. Lorna, hi. Is it correct what I just described?
Yes, that was perfect.
Thank you. So we would love to hear more about this concept, which is already a white paper, as I know, the statutory duty of care. Could you tell a few words about that?
Yes. The Carnegie Research Project started looking at the range of harms that people are now talking about on social media. And we realised that one of the big problems that any attempt to change this had was the fact that looking at individual instances of content post by post was going to run into the tremendous difficulty of how to deal with the quantity and variety of content that is posted every day on the major networks. And we also realised that the platforms are designed to keep users engaged, that the business model, as I think we all are beginning to be aware now, is based on getting data and using that in advertising, targeted advertising, sales, and profiling. The problem with this is that the most engaging content is possibly not the nicest content, that there was a tendency in the algorithms to skew towards emotive and negative content. So this made us think about the design or the architecture of the platforms and ask the question, what were the platforms thinking when they designed this? Were they thinking about the possible downsides? And I think, though I don't know, I think the answer was that they weren't. So what we proposed through our project was to view the platforms as a form of product that the designers and operators of the product should think about the consequences of the features they introduce and to assess the risk of those features and to try to mitigate the risks. So that's the basic idea, is it's a form of product safety or a form of health and safety on the internet. So it's not saying particular types of content are good or bad, but to ask the designers to think about the consequences of those features that nudge us in certain directions.
How do you define the risks and the negative impact? Because in the case of social media, it's not as straightforward as, for example, in labor law, like a risk to health or the nutritive value of a food. The impacts are quite subtle and often not that we cannot give evidence at the individual level, and even at the social level, it's quite difficult to provide evidence that there is a negative impact, isn't it?
Well, yes. So the proposal was to say that companies should have a process in place to think about this and actually to examine the likely consequences of the design choice in the light of emergent evidence. So this brings in another feature of the proposal. We had envisaged that there would be a regulator. And in our view, the regulator would have an enforcement role, but perhaps almost more important than that, it would have a role about sharing information about what risks were perceived to be, what good practice looks like, and how to mitigate against risks. So it was trying to build up some detail about what we might expect. I'd also like to refer to an approach, the precautionary principle. Now, some people have said, oh, this means that companies take down by default. And that's not how we were envisaging the precautionary principle. Normally, we operate on the basis you don't have to justify what you're doing, and that anyone who claims it's harmful has to prove that. But what we were saying was that when you get to a certain level of suspicion that something is causing problems, even if you haven't got to the point of proving it in particular cases, that you should almost flip the burden of proof that the company seeking to deploy the technique should show that it has thought that it is safe.
Yes, that sounds very reasonable, at least to my ears. And could you tell more concrete examples what is required from platforms? So as I understand, then platforms are not as autonomous in this concept that I thought at first when I first heard about this concept, but in fact a huge power is given to Ofcom, the regulator, basically so the freedom to design the interventions is sort of given to Ofcom. Is that correct? Or
to a large extent, Ofcom is an established regulator in the UK, and it has already some experience both in regulating the telecommunications sector, but also the broadcast and video on demand sector. So I think its experience in that context is significant in that it has some experience of understanding public communications and the public space and the value of freedom of expression. Nonetheless, it is quite a big job. We would expect that it would need more resources and perhaps more technical resources. And in that context, we would say yes, maybe programming expertise, but we would say also maybe behavioural psychology expertise. In our model, we also envisage that it should have perhaps a technical advisory board, but also a users advisory board, not necessarily with individual users on there, but with representative organisations, so that it could take into account the way people use the platforms, how they experience harm, what the benefits are, so that it is not just Ofcom acting on its own. We also envisage that the sorts of harms and the level of harms would need to be set down in statute. That's important in terms of legitimacy to help define the extent of Ofcom's competence, and also so that it is not an unlimited obligation on the platforms either.
What would be the envisaged interaction between Ofcom and the platforms?
We had envisaged a sort of pose a performance circle, that the starting point should be that the platform should engage in looking at the services and the particular features and trying to assess what the risks are. And in this, we think that the platform should be taking risks into account, bearing in mind their size, their user base, the way the platforms are used, and the particular features. So it's not that every platform or even every feature on a platform are equally risky. And we thought that one responsibility of Ofcom would be to set a framework for that, some guidance as to the requirements of such a risk assessment. And we're mindful that while the big platforms might want to do their own thing, that smaller platforms or startups may need more advice as to what's required, so that then this would be provided by Ofcom as a starting point, but that platforms could do something different, provided that they explained how it met the objectives. Mm-hmm. Having done that assessment, the platform would then put forward proposals as to how to mitigate any risks. And these could be at various stages of, I suppose, a communication chain. So it could be proposals about whether they do age verification when users join, how they're going to promote content, whether they are going to personalize content or allow users to choose between different mechanisms. And interestingly, at the moment, the Centre for Data Ethics and Innovation and the Behavioural Insights team are doing some work on what different sorts of choice architectures would look like in that context. An important part is obviously giving the users tools to curate their experience, but also to deal with user complaints. And we think this should be transparent, that the platform should give information about how they're tackling moderation and takedown, and actually give data in a format to be specified by the regulator as to what they're doing. So there can be a sort of cross-check for bias, for consistency, for fairness. And then you see how that works and go forward and tweak it if there are still issues or new problems.
This sounds fascinating. And one last question. How do you assess the international fragmentation of regulatory concepts? Because this is going to work for Great Britain, the UK, and then do you think it could be the framework can be exported to other countries, or that the solutions that are worked out in the framework of this cooperation could be exported? So how do you see this fragmentation of various national solutions they are currently developing?
I think fragmentation, or the natural cultural differences of different jurisdictions is a real issue. And it is particularly problematic when we talk about content regulation, because countries have different sensitivities, different expectations about what is acceptable and problematic. I think that targeting the platform and the design features, especially if you are moving towards giving users more choice, is less problematic in this sense. It is less about judging the legality or not of particular content, but more about functional questions, which are, I think, more universal. In that regard, I also think that although the UK has a particular history of using what's called a statutory duty of care. The underlying legal tool, duty of care, is found in a lot of legal systems. It's the tortious duty. It's sometimes called due diligence. So certainly as a basis for dealing with some of these problems, I think that it could be used in other jurisdictions. I should say at this point, though, that I don't think that the duty of care is ever going to be a complete solution, that there will always be a need, I think, especially when we're talking about some of the harder content issues, harder crimes like terrorism and child sexual abuse and exploitation material, to have specific regard to how those problems are dealt with.
So if I understand this correctly, this what is envisaged is basically a collaboration with the platforms to develop technological design solutions to create better services for the users. Can you put it this way?
Yes, that's broadly it. Though we have also thought that some of the business choices about how well-resourced consumer complaints or user complaints are is also within scope.
But that sounds very promising. And if I think you mentioned that it might become something tangible by 2021. So we will see what we have, and let's keep an eye on that.
And tell you what happens in 2021.
Yes. That's a great idea. And yes, let me also call attention to our workshop series. Today, we just had the third very exciting workshop panel of the workshop series Platform Regulation. And the fourth panel will be on 19th of January. So that will certainly provide an occasion to address this issue again. So thank you very much, Lorna. It was a pleasure to talk with you.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Have a nice evening.
And you.